His Venom is better. That Venom and Eminem's Venom.
That's a... Hold on.
Venom!
Venom!
Venom! Venom!
What?
I was listening to it.
Yeah, I'm like, Venom!
Venom! Venom!
And I just... Venom! It's just Venom. Funny.
Yeah. It's the way he said it.
Mm-hmm.
I did the singles, so I can do the singles. That's fine. You ready to start?
This is so funny. It is so stupid, but it's hilarious. They don't know what hit them.
Meanwhile, the Whole Foods Invitational, just yelling that with every punch.
The Whole Foods Invitational. I wish that happened.
Hello, humans, and welcome to Audio Face.
I wish you could put Venom right on our intro starts. Hello, humans. Venom.
God damn it. We were just laughing about that earlier before. It's a song. There are several songs named Venom. We'll be talking about several songs and other songs on this podcast, this irreverent podcast about music news and music culture
is.
That mostly
matters. I want to let you landmine just to see what you do with the intro and shit, so.
I am Dan.
No, I am
the
El Shaughnessyto.
The person dropping landmines is El Shano.
El Shaughnessyto.
El Shaughnessyto.
Yes.
I'm going to give you like an El Chapo nickname, but sure.
Chapo.
Shaughnessyto Trap House.
Kind of goes hard. Is that my trap name? What's my trap tag?
No, that's your podcast name.
My podcast.
Anyways, name. This is an episode that we are doing live to tape.
He's ruining the illusion.
No, but I'm not ruining.
I'm joking. For fuck's sake,
damn it. I'm sorry to
round two.
I'm sorry to rip a hole through the curtain, but
that could go in like seven different ways.
And I want you to take it all nine of those ways. But the way that we're doing this episode is that we're basically breaking it up into two. All this music came out last week, but if you heard that music last week, and now you can hear it this week and hear what our reviews are, then you'll see whether we're full of shit or not.
Anyways, so
we have two singles.
Singles, yeah.
That came out recently.
Roosevelt that just came out. Debuted on everybody's favorite KCRW.
Morning becomes eclectic. We should get a deal with them.
I want to go in the studio, Jason Bentley, and just talk music. If you make that happen, I will be so happy. If I can go to that tiny little fucking studio in Santa Monica in the basement, because, you know, from the basement.
Yeah.
And just chat music, I would be so happy.
We'll figure this out. We'll make this happen.
My birthday soon. My birthday just happened. It didn't happen.
Falling Back by Roosevelt is...
Yes, everybody's favorite German.
Yeah, that's just restrained. Falling Back has been something.
Come on, man.
No, it's favorite Germans. It's just Falling Back is a song that Roosevelt has been playing a while he's been live. Yeah. But this is the first time it's been recorded, and
it's an old song apparently, actually, that he never released.
Yeah, I think I may have heard this during the first tour when he did 2017.
This is the self-titled tour.
Yeah. But either way, it's really good. A very traditional Roosevelt song. Nothing like too out of the ordinary if you're used to how Roosevelt does sound like. Yeah.
Because I prefer his first album over his second still.
Interesting. And it's been out for a while, so you've had some time to think about that.
Yeah, I still like his first album. I bump that more than I bump his second. I do fairly enjoy his second album, but that's why I like this song a lot.
They're like, I love 3/4, lol. I love like 3/4 of both albums so much that like Roosevelt's just really well done for
That's
me.
That's true.
Okay. But
I don't know, there's just a special place for that first album. That was a good
You never forget
because
your first time.
Right, because hearing it so much on MBE, I don't know.
It's an association.
It's an association. Fair
enough.
Those are the times I was going, that's when I went back to school, I was happy and shit. You know. This was before the neoliberalism happened. But anyway, so Talking Monster.
Talking Monster also released a single recently. It's going to be the first. It's the first single off of her new album, which is coming out in May. Her album's called Young Art Sound 2.
I'm looking forward to it because this single's awesome.
It's awesome.
Really, it's like orchestral
it's mellow,
part.
But energetic.
It's super mellow. Yeah, and it's something that is right up my neighborhood.
Yeah.
Something I love, which when we reviewed Talking Monster in 2017.
Yeah.
I believe the album was kind of, I liked it, but it was a bit too much.
There was a lot going on. Yeah. It didn't feel like a lot, like, kind of keeping it all together. But the sounds that were in it were just genuinely good.
And this is, I am looking forward to it. Yeah. So, both singles are fantastic. Listen to them.
Yeah, Strange Fruit can be, like, a more, I guess, refined.
Yeah.
An inclination that her next album will be, like, a little more refined, then I'm very excited. That's what I want to
so,
say. So, next.
Anderson .Paak.
Is already Buck.
Is so he joint won album of the year kind of with A Brief Inquiry into Online Relationships last year, and he's apparently may have a new album.
Yeah, see, he's pulling a 1975 and it's like, oh, by the way, the amazing album that I released last year, I have another one.
You know what would be fucking hilarious is if they both make album of the year again and we have 2 years of them both of them being album of the year. That's funny would that be?
I sincerely hope that doesn't happen. Just for that.
I can already imagine now, Audioface Awards 2019, we just look at each other and go, God fucking damn it.
We got lawyered.
It's like, God damn it, we got lawyered. Fucking kill me.
So here's the thing. On the, this album, like this, I would talk about this if we were just talking about the tour, PAX's Best Teeth in the Game tour, which features Earl Sweatshirt,
which, you know, all right,
Mac DeMarco,
I
Thundercat, and No Name, which is that's a phenomenal lineup.
That's so eclectic of a lineup. Yeah. I love it.
Second of all, Best Teeth in the Game might have to go to Danny Brown. And third of all... third of all,
stupid.
It's facts, right?
It's facts.
Ventura was also produced by Dr. Dre. They're recorded simultaneously, so it's
like the 1975 in a way.
Yeah, but whereas the 1975, because
they recorded separate times, but right when they were releasing ABIAOR, they were recording notes. So
yes,
on a conditional
form. And there's a reason that
interesting.
There's a reason that specifically. The 1975 did not want to release a double album because, Sean...
It is bad for fans.
As Matty Healy said. And so, apparently Anderson .Paak took the same advice, thank God, because rap is known for double albums. I think we killed the double album, actually. I think we killed it.
Also, the fact that his tour dates, one of them's in Munich, I give him plus 30 points.
Yeah, in March, actually.
Yeah, München.
Is he coming? Oh, no. Bill Graham. That's fine.
Bill Graham. I do like Bill Graham.
And the tour is with all these people, not all of them at once, but like at different points of the tour they'll be featured. I wish they were all of them together, like a little like Demon Days kind of thing.
Right.
They're all touring together, that'd be a show and a half. But yeah, Thundercat's gonna be joining for the entire tour, and then at different moments will be Earl Sweatshirt, No Name, and Mac DeMarco. Yeah. All great openers, all solid openers.
I fucks with Mac DeMarco, even though he's extremely hipstery.
They're all interesting up and comers, if you will.
So, speaking of interesting albums, interesting people.
Yeah, we have Little Sims, the young grime girl from England, the place. Gray Area is...
10 songs, 35 minutes long. Dan Words. Dan.words.exe stopped responding.
My Spotify stopped responding, actually.
Well, I'll do it then.
Sure.
This album is interesting. I'll take the lead. So, I... enjoy it. It's a little out there because the first two songs are lo-fi, kind of the beats are a little reduced, a little more simple. The first two songs of the second song, it just cuts out of random and goes into a really slow, almost jazz type song. The fourth song is more rap, and then the fifth song, Venom, just goes balling out the gates, hard in the fucking paint.
Like, this is like, so Little Sims, I will say what you're describing is that she is traveling through genres, definitely
and
for sure.
Holy shit, yeah, because I didn't know what to expect at all, because I listened to her a little bit on her features with different artists and stuff, so I kind of knew her sound, but I go, okay, I don't know what a full put together album would sound like.
Yeah, and her bread and butter is still definitely grime, for
whoa,
sure.
Whoa, the shit's out there. And it's fun, though. It's fun to listen to, but the... I had some problems with the transitions of songs, especially from Boss to Selfish 2 and 3. Because it's from lo-fi to a really slow song. It kind of put the album on halt for a second and basically ripped up the rail lines from our conversation earlier. And just, it took a little breath out of what the work was.
Like it took a pace
then
out of it.
Yeah. And that didn't feel right. And then after that, it felt great because then it transitioned back into being fast-paced and then Venom.
Yeah.
There's a song.
Yeah,
that
this
I like.
Holy shit. This all started because I was joking to see if Lil Sims' Venom is better than Eminem's Venom. And I would just kind of say yes because I like Lil Sims more.
But well, because Eminem's Venom is just funny.
It's
comical.
It has a pronunciation going for it, and that's about it.
Yeah.
Venom.
Little Sims Venom. They will never want to admit I'm the best here. From the mere fact that I've got ovaries, it's a woman's world, so to speak. Pussy, you sour. Never giving credit where it's due because you don't like pussy in power. Venom. My, if you ever heard what I heard in the night, what I've heard. It stinks.
You're
afraid of pussy in power.
Ooh. It's pretty woke, yeah.
Shit, that's a bar. Yeah, I fucks with this album though because I like how eclectic it is. Normally, to me, eclectic albums can either be hit or miss. This is a hit for me. It took me a little while, but since it's 35 minutes long, I actually listened to it twice. I wanted to get more into it. And the second listen, I understood the album a bit more. Still don't like the transition from 2 and 3. I wish it was a little different. But other than that, overall, I did like the album. And also that she featured Little Dragon on a track. Goes hard.
Yeah.
Usher's also a track that goes hard because I fucks with the Little Dragon a lot. Me, watching the news, I feel so helpless. Can't even help myself from changing up all the shit. Say it loud to keep playing my shit. Man, I'm proud of how far we come. Won't stop till we living in bliss. Won't stop till you know we meant it. Play no games with these zillionaires. Play no games with these niggas at it. Ain't afraid of these niggas at it. Nah.
I think I love Venom all the way down, but I also like, and that's like the fourth song in the album.
Yes.
Fifth song in the album, going all the way down. I will say that I can't make a judgment because while I did listen to this album quite a bit, I guess the first three songs are a little less memorable to me. And so I'm not exactly sure, like, I can't back up what you're saying about it feeling out of place, but I'm sure what you're saying is correct. And it's probably likely how it is. But yeah, Venom stuck out for me. 101 FM was really cool. But yeah, the 1-2 punch of Pressure with Little Dragon and then Therapy together.
Yeah.
Is just like, it shows she's got chops, she's got potential. Not just potential, I mean, it's very clear and recognized that she has potential. She just is a good artist. And one thing I find really interesting about this is that we're actually sort of seeing the first generation of artists who are influenced by the same shit that we are,
mm-hmm.
and they're getting to make music because
it's pretty cool to see, honestly.
Yeah. Little Sims's influences include Kendrick Lamar,
mm-hmm.
Lauryn Hill, Gorillaz.
Mm-hmm.
All artists that we like, all you can see little bits of alternative and conscious rap and this sort of like really smooth way of like working your talents and your skills as a solo like female producer and writer and songwriter. Like all of that really comes together in Gray Area, this album. And God, yeah, it's just kind of gorgeous start to finish. It shows a lot of depth too lyrically, which I mean, like it's sort of like, I don't want to compare other artists to Little Sims, but it's inherently going to happen. Like, Little Sims is so young, has so much talent, has so much ahead of her, and still bullshit like Weezer gets released.
Right.
I mean, like, I'm not going to go harp on Weezer too much, but, like, there's so much bullshit out there in music. But artists like this show that, yeah, it's totally possible to kill and rock and do super well.
Right.
The arbitrary scale for this episode is Momos. Not because it is Sean's previously favorite word, but because this is probably the last time we'll be able to use this word. Because Momos are now the word for the... It's the Momo challenge on YouTube where apparently this masked creature is appearing in kids' YouTube videos, giving them advice on how to take their lives, which is dark, but also very funny considering that it's something Sean says, and this is audio face. So, for the last time, and to make this totally neutralizing to not get us in trouble later, Momos is just going to be an arbitrary thing where out of 14, we'll rank how... Actually, out of 23, because it's my recent birthday.
I also like the number 23 a lot.
Yeah, 23 is actually one of my favorite numbers. So
it's my jersey number for goaltending, so...
So, out of 23 Momos, and assuming Momos is just a neutral thing and more is better, I would give Little Sims Gray Area 21 Momos.
Well, I was going to give it a solid 20 Momos.
Yeah.
This is really good.
It has some imperfection, but you know what? It's short, and so that imperfection doesn't, like, glare out too long. And I'll listen to that top portion again. It's possible that it may never, like, click through and work out super well perfectly. Cunt. Yeah.
Bet on your stork.
Before I get off track. It may not have that perfect transition going all the way through, but it has interesting sonic musical things that I very much enjoy and will come back to. And yeah, Little Sims is killing it. I cannot wait to see what she does. By the way, that article, I'm going to talk about this. We, Beto O'Rourke, noted neoliberal.
Bet on your Stark.
Noted neoliberal Beto is going to a Metallica concert. That's basically the entire article, and he got to, like, sit in the pit and everything. We're all going to look back on Beto 2020 the same way we look back at Kony 2012. Like, it's going to be a funny, ridiculous, hey, remember what life was like back then?
I was going to say Marco Rubio 16, but, you know.
No. This is going to be, like, Tim Pawlenty 2012. This is going to be the most, like, forgettable. Who the fuck was that guy?
Rudy Giuliani 2012.
Mike Huckabee. Mike Huckabee 2012 is what Beto O'Rourke is going to be like.
I was
going to
say something so bad, but anyways. So MGMT are going on tour, right?
Yes, MGMT are going on tour. Which is we've gone. Go ahead.
Interesting, because I've never seen them live. We obviously thoroughly enjoyed Little Dark Age.
This is a year since
Little Dark Age.
Yeah.
Little Dark Age was 2018 in February. And it gets some Audio Face Awards. It definitely was on our listening list the whole year. I mean, I still listen to it right now.
Yeah.
Absolutely love it. But apparently they start their 2019 North American tour. And one of those stops is in our backyard of Long Beach.
It's close.
Of everybody's favorite area code, 562.
Yeah, where the city carries strong heat. It'll be interesting to go to. I wanted to mention that they're touring because we gave MGMT a lot of praise last year. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like it's only fair to say, hey, this band's going on tour. They're going to places from like Oakland, Long Beach, Tucson, Houston, Oklahoma City, Kansas City, Cleveland, Columbus, Detroit, Grand Rapids, Pittsburgh, New Haven, three stays at the recently remodeled Webster Hall in New York City.
3 days in a row.
And I think they might be doing 2 days at Just Like Heaven Festival.
We're probably end up going to see them here.
Allegedly. So come allegedly. Come and find us. There's your assassination attempt right there.
We should go and report on the, Music for the People.
Like, Audio Face investigates on the field.
We will do that. You know how down I am to do that festival?
There are, it's fun. There are some podcasts that do like audio, like journals. It's fun. We could release that as a little bonus episode because we aren't already enough annoying as two people in LA who have a podcast. But let's get on to other news. Bohemian Rhapsody is actually going to be released in China. Given the Great Firewall and all that happens with there, naturally parts of the film are going to be cut out, including the drug scenes and the gay scenes.
So that's like half the film.
So that's going to be a significantly shorter film.
God, Chinese censorship is ridiculous.
And Americans complain about free speech. Yeah, Chinese censorship is overboard, but also
also we have so much beef with that film and everything in it. Yeah.
There are some things that film did well. There are some things that film didn't do well. It got critically acclaimed and there were awards that we gave it to and the soundtrack was still pretty baller.
Well, yeah, I mean, son of a bitch. Why am I blanking on his name? The actor who played Freddie Mercury, because I first saw him as in The Pacific, the HBO miniseries, playing a character called Snafu.
Rami Malek.
Yeah, Rami Malek. There we go. God damn it. He is an amazing actor because after seeing him in Snafu in The Pacific, I go, holy shit, this guy's good. And then in Mr. Robot, in that series. He was fantastic. He's also in The Master from Paul Thomas Anderson's film. And he was fantastic in that as well. And then he did, holy shit, he did a great Freddie Mercury. The film got a lot wrong. It got dates wrong. It did other shit wrong. I mean, we already talked about that. So, I mean, I just, it annoys me that I got so much things, but people don't look at facts. Anyways.
Facts don't care about your feelings.
Seriously.
Hozier. He's released an album. It's called Wasteland, baby.
Wasteland, baby.
It's about an hour long and I believe 14 songs.
Yeah, 57 minutes, 14 songs long. Correct.
Yeah. This is rocky. It's very rock. But as always, it, like, albums this year have been throwing me off with their first song.
Yeah.
So, like, Nina Cried Power is this, like, really powerful, like, rock ballad soul thing.
It's a great song.
Featuring
great
Mavis track. Staples. It's a great song, yeah. Mavis Staples, sorry. I pronounced her pronounced both for sure, but it's definitely probably only one. Either way, it doesn't quite, I think, yeah, that is the only feature on the album, at least it's, like, noted here.
Mm-hmm.
And that, it doesn't depart too heavily. And like many other albums we reviewed this year, it's like, oh, the first couple songs sound interesting, and the rest sounds very generic and predictable. The rest isn't as generic and predictable, but doesn't sound like the beginning. And it's just a little bit like, you know, rock, and it's varied. But I think it's a little bit beyond, like, standard fair rock. It's
definitely beyond that.
Yeah, it's not like, oh, this is exactly what I was expecting, or it's not like Weezer where I've heard it 19 times. It's definitely different and very good. I think the highlight of me for the album is, again, a little bit later in, the song Talk. I'd be the immediate forgiveness in your idiocy. Imagine being loved by me. I won't deny God in my mind. All the things I would do, so I try. It's just got this... It's got a groove to it, it's got a sound to it that is, I think, unique. And I heard a lot of Gorillaz, influences in the Little Sims album.
Mm-hmm.
But Talk also felt like it had a lot of, like, alternative rock influences too, just the way with how it did.
It definitely did. Yeah. I mean, you can hear those things throughout the album as well. I quite enjoyed it, whole thing. I love his voice, holy shit. Really like it. The first track, you can immediately hear in the first track how powerful it is. I mean, you've known it throughout his other work before, but someone who's never really heard it, and say if they only heard Take Me to Church and they haven't heard any of his other work,
right?
You hear that track, you go, whoa, this guy's talented. And I like that throughout the album. It didn't feel too long. I like the last track, Wasteland Baby, a lot. I found it just to be fun.
It was a good title track.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
It's a great title track. As a lot of, lately, I haven't enjoyed title tracks as much. Ironically, halfway through the album, I fell asleep because I was really tired of listening to it.
We also listened.
But that's honestly
to 6 songs this week.
Okay,
albums this week.
We did also listen to 6 albums in 3 days, 3.5 days. Actually, no, 2.5 days. Sorry, and that is a really good sign for me, because if people don't know me, I listen to music when I sleep, because I have my entire life, because I can't have white noise. If I hear one little sound, I'm awake. If I hear something without having headphones in, I can't sleep. It's just the way my fucking evil mind works. So I've always listened to music when I've slept. And I only listen to music I like when I sleep. I only listen to things that I thoroughly enjoy when I sleep. And when I've run through an album the first time, and if I fall asleep, usually what happens is it sounds really weird the second listen. Something I can't explain. But if I fall asleep in it and it doesn't sound weird the second listen, I know it's good. And this is the latter. It sounded normal when I listened to it again. And I go, that's the holy shit, okay. Because when I fell asleep, I woke up, I worried. I go, oh no, it's going to sound crap the second time. Not at all. It sounds really good. So it's something that I will recommend to people. I will say, if you like alternative rock, it's something that is not bread and butter, not like the Black Album 1975 alternative rock, not, you know, fluorescent adolescent alternative rock, but something that I think in this day and age can hold on its own.
So wait, there's a lot of things there that I think are super interesting. One is your way of sleeping and reviewing music, which I want to touch on, but another thing that I just want to like knock out. I would not put Fluorescent Adolescent and Brief Inquiry.
No, I said the Black Album.
Oh, the Black Album. Okay, never mind. Yeah, yeah. Okay, no, we're
the
good.
Black Album.
Okay. Yeah, sorry.
Because that's some reason that's those are true. I mean, those are like staples of alternative rock, or those two albums. Because that's like, okay, this is bread and butter alternative in like the early 2010s.
Okay, yeah.
No, not on IVIR.
Yeah, yeah.
No. Black Album.
So yes, okay, so that's fine. That's very interesting. I don't think anyone else who reviews music does this. So it sounds differently if you listen to it the second time if it's bad, because of what, again?
So, when I sleep, right, if I fall asleep to, I'm in the middle of a song, I fall asleep in it, and I listen to it again, usually what happens is it sounds really weird. I don't exactly know why, and I've been trying to figure this out for the past 8 years or so. Actually, I've been trying to look at studies or something, and I haven't found anything, really, of why sometimes when I fall asleep for a first listen, it sounds weird. That's been happening a lot with albums and stuff.
It sounds weird, like you ambiently, while you're asleep, think the sound is weird as you're listening
to it? No, the second, when I wake up and I listen to it again, it doesn't sound like it did before.
Okay.
So, and that's usually the mark of an album that I won't like. But albums that I do like, if I fall asleep to it after the first run through, they sound normal. They sound like they did the first listen through. So, for example, when A Moon-Shaped Pool was released, when Burn the Witch was released, it was released at like, because England time, and Daydreaming, England time, it was always like 2 a.m. here. Yeah. I listened to it and I fell asleep on both of them halfway through the songs because I was exhausted, because that's when I was going to school. And I was worried that when I woke up that they were going to sound weird. The second listen through, they sounded normal because it's fucking Radiohead, and this is my favorite, you know, they're my favorite band. And this album did that, where I fell asleep. I go, God damn it, I don't want this to be bad because I enjoyed it. And I woke up to listen to it again, and it didn't have that weird sound change. I don't know how to really explain it. If someone else does, please, like, tweet me.
Yeah, any message neurological or and musical.
That would be fantastic. That's actually a very interesting study. But that's something that's been happening with me ever since I was a kid, really. I've been listening to music when I slept since I can remember. So it's something I've done daily.
That's
a ritual.
Super fascinating. But anyways,
overall, I really like this album a lot more than I thought I was going to. So I'm going to be listening to it throughout the year, 100%.
Yeah. Me too. I would recommend it if you are, if you're like looking for an alternative rock album that sounds new.
So like, yes, that's what exactly, I was going to say earlier. Exactly. That, like, sounds new. Yep.
Like Brief Inquiry, I would put in my category of, I want to listen to alternative rock, but I want to listen to something that's pushing it forward.
Mm-hmm. And this is one of those that's pushing it forward without being stupid, because that's our problem with alternative
pushing
rock.
Pushing it forward without going in a direction or pushing it into a corner or a wall where, like,
it's not going into folk and it's not going into trap. Because that's been the trap, that alternative music has been going to, because we had that problem with, God damn it, who was in 2017 when I wanted to, like, kill everybody who made alternative music?
Fuck.
Who the hell made the album Torches?
Oh, Torches?
The album Torches. Who?
Foster People.
Because
I know who you're talking about.
That
was like your biggest disappointment of 2017.
It was the biggest disappointment. Also, The Killers was also a big disappointment because of that as well. But anyways, I'm ranting. I'm being Alex Jones. I'm just going on a fucking warpath.
Oh, God. How many momos are we giving this? I'm giving this,
I might give another 20, honestly.
I'll 19.
I want to give another 20. Because both those albums have songs I'm going to be listening to throughout the year.
Yeah.
So there's a 12-year-old rapper
who was arrested for selling CDs in the mall, allegedly.
He faces felony charges.
Yeah.
This is America.
12-year-old rapper Corey J, also known. Hold on. 12-year-old rapper Corey J, also known as Lil C Note. So there's Honorable C Note, now there's Lil C Note, neither of which are related.
Lil C Note.
Lil C Note. So good. Anyways, the police side of the story is that he was charged with criminal trespassing, obstruction felony, and disorderly conduct.
Whoa.
Which, you know, a 12-year-old selling CDs at the Georgia shopping mall on Saturday probably obstructed a felony justice. Meanwhile, the family says that, you know, he was kind of grabbed really strongly against his will. The police officers were sort of putting his hands on him in a way that was totally unnecessary for a middle schooler selling CDs.
That's like, so rough.
This is all amazing to me. Like, it's 12-year-olds shouldn't face felonies for selling CDs, like, regardless of the context. Unless they pull out a gun after they, like, after you approach them for selling the CD, that's a different thing. But, like, it's such an overreaction. It's ridiculous. But it was a little, like, nugget I found out. And there's actually a little bit of justice in the world. A little bit. Jaden Smith partnered with a company called Just Goods. And they're delivering a water filtration system to the First Trinity Missionary Baptist Church of Flint, Michigan.
All right.
So basically, you'll be able to, through the help of that church, through Just Goods Company, and through Jaden Smith, they'll have a water filtration, like, little area, so you can get some clean water in Flint. That meme has been going on for a while. After several delays, the pipes in Flint mm-hmm. are supposed to be fully replaced by the end of 2019, this year.
God damn it.
Meanwhile, while we're blasting humans in half, Flint still doesn't have fucking drinking water.
The officials claim that the water in Flint is totally fine, even though I know off the top of my head, just recently, a couple of weeks ago, a elementary school in Flint had to shut off their drinking water because it was filled with lead, obviously. And so that's a political shit show that shows that our political system has no real power or use in any purpose whatsoever. And then, unfortunately, we have to rely on the ambivalence of celebrities to save us from our capitalist hellscape. Anyways, we have an album called The Japanese House. Called The Japanese House, who released an album that
Good
is
at
called
Falling.
Good at Falling.
13 songs, 44 minutes long.
And we're going to be reviewing it now.
Young Amber, holy shit.
I will say this before you get into your very justifiable good review. I got to maybe the second or third song, and I was like, oh yeah, this is Sean shit. In my head, it's like, oh, this is Sean shit, right?
You can tell already, right?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I already listened to some of the singles and stuff that are on this album, so I could finally talk about them.
I believe that Lilo was a single we talked about when we did the court packing episode last year.
Yep.
And you brought up The Japanese House.
Yep, because Lilo was released a while ago, and that track goes hard. I want your opinion, go.
No, you want my... Well, no, I'm going to do this 1975 style where we know what your opinion is probably going to be.
My opinion is
going to be the interesting one.
Fine. I recommended her and stuff before on this podcast because she hasn't... She's only released EPs. She started about 2013, 2014, around there. I started listening to her at her EP called Clean. And I really enjoyed it. And ever since then, I've been following her stuff. She's on the same record label as the 1975 Dirty Hit, and she's done some stuff with them. Like, she was on Insincerely Scary video and other stuff. And George Daniel helped produce this album, who's the drummer for the 1975. And he's the one who's behind the scenes doing all the shit for the 1975.
Wait, the drummer?
Yeah, George Daniel. He's the Johnny Greenwood of their band, basically.
And helped produce this?
I believe he helped produce part of this, yeah.
Nice.
Because he's good friends with Amber. I know that for sure. But anyways, so finally she released an album, a full-length album, LP, which I've been waiting for the past 6 years or so.
Yeah.
And it's pretty much everything I wanted from her, because I know she has a very distinct sound. It's, I would like to say, I don't know how to explain her guitar. She plays guitar, sings, and then does all the production and stuff over it. So, it's kind of surf style guitar is the best way I can explain it. It's hard to explain, like, the tone of it, but it's very distinctive.
A beachy
theme is the best way I could explain it, even though she's from
England. I hate to use this description, but the distinguishing part of yacht rock in that it has, like, these effects with the guitar, where the guitar and the individual notes, like, as you're strumming, is a very, like, key part of it, and that creates a soundscape within which the other instruments sort of play along.
And that's...
But that's, like, kind of the backdrop. Which is another thing that the 1975 does, more with synths,
in
a pop
heavy
way,
yes.
Where, like, that is sort of the backdrop, and then all the other instruments kind of play around within that sound.
They do the YouTube.
It's definitely a nice way to do that.
Yes, and
again, I apologize for the Yacht Rock comparison.
Yeah, but that's I can't figure out the wording because I'm terrible with words. But I run a podcast. It's a great idea.
That's why I'm here.
Right? I could do this by myself.
And I'm terrible.
I did this by myself like twice, and I wanted to die. Never again. Anyways, the first song is intro. It's kind of a weird song, but I mean, a lot of intros are that way. And the second song, Maybe You're the Reason. Oh. It gets the ball rolling. It gets it going. It's fantastic. We Talk All the Time is great. The third track. I like the theme of that, of saying with somebody who you used to be in romantic with or used to be close with, but you're saying we talk all the time, we don't do fun stuff anymore.
Right, yeah.
And we don't do gubs anymore. I can still say gubs. If someone takes gubs away from me, I'm finding them, I'm shooting them in the face. Because that's my word, goddammit. Momo, you can take away from me, but gubs, I will go down swinging. Anyways, Wild is good. You Seem So Happy is fantastic. Follow My Girl is a really, really, really good song. But to me, the track that really brought it together was her single, Lilo.
Yeah.
It's something that track is the epitome of the entire album. And it connects both the top and the bottom of the album. The only complaint I have of the entire album is I Saw You in a Dream. Because she released that as part of an EP before, and she changed it. And I don't like this version at all. The first version is freaking-tastic. I love it. But this version of I Saw You in a Dream, yeah, I do not like at all because it's stripped back and it sounds as if you're listening to it through somebody else's door, but not in a good way.
Right. So, it's like Saw You in a Dream, the original version, was released in 2017. It was part of an EP.
And it's so good. And I don't know why she put it in this. But that's all my own, literally the only complaint I have in this album. The rest of it is fan-fucking-tastic and I love it.
There's something about people on the Dirty Hit record label and releasing multiple songs with the same title.
Pale Waves, that's a thing. That's a theme with Dirty Hit, you know? That is hilarious. Overall, very, very good work from Amber. I'm going to try and see her at a show because I know she's doing shows when I'm going to be in Colorado and when she's going to be here in LA. So I'm going to try, I'm going to try and see her as well. So that way I can give you reviews for the people. Because it's my favorite music, I gotta make sure that's
I'm getting the sort of thing that we're gonna get back to doing more like live show commentary.
Well, I have time this year, so.
Yeah,
all my favorite stuff are touring this year, and I'm already gonna see the 1975 live this year. Like, that's a thing, I bought the tickets, but that's something because of how highly rated we taught them. It's gonna be a new thing when I see them in person, because then I can give them are they Radiohead or not pass? Because Radiohead, obviously the gold standard of everything in music ever made by God Jesus himself, blessed six times. And we've seen them live and we can go, yeah, okay, they're...
Yeah, in addition, like, so basically, like, as a live musician, are they also good? Because a lot of bands, unfortunately, don't hold up very well live. And so this will be to say, like, as a band, holistically, how are they?
And it's, I want to see how she does it because she's a solo artist.
Yeah.
What she does with other... by herself or when she brings in other people, because I'm not too sure for her solo shows. So
I do want to say, because I still haven't gotten to reveal.
Yeah, I know, sorry, but that's why I wanted you to go first, because I was going to rant for like 30 hours.
No, but like pretty much what you said, I'll piggyback off of what I liked. I liked everything. I liked most of the album. I like the vibe that it has, where it's alternative. I've said this about everything now, but like it's alternative and it's pushing things in a new way in that direction that I like. I'm wondering if this, like, sonic soundscape that kind of envelops the whole song and the way that music, like, songs are being made that way, the Japanese House does it, the 1975 does it. I'm wondering if I like that in music. Sometimes it seems sort of, like, sonically overwhelming in the way that EDM does sometimes when it does that, but with heavier sense. But I see where they're going with it. It's a style. I just haven't decided if I like the style or not yet.
It's definitely, it has a very distinct tone, and that's the way she makes music.
Yeah. But I largely like it. Like, it wasn't off-putting, but it's like, okay, I'm starting to see this a lot in different places. I'm not sure how I feel about it on a macro scale. But when the Japanese house does it, I like it. Lilo is very good, and I remember that song. Everybody Hates Me, I think, is my favorite.
That's a good song.
Near the end. Again, I think it just has kind of like a Gorillaz, like, All Alone, Demon Days twist to it or feel to it. Heavy and heady in its bass, and I'm really kind of gravitating towards that, at least this past month I'm noticing. And it's got really good vibes. The thing I don't like about it, my major sticking point, is I guess thematically I'm starting to notice that even within this genre, much like how trap's musical themes, like lyrically, can usually mm-hmm. be boiled down to a couple of categories. Mm-hmm. That's starting to happen in this area too, where it's like reflections on relationships and interacting and being, which is fine. Like everyone, like that's a very universal thing that humans have and deal with.
It's just a human emotion.
It's perfectly fine to have that and to explore that in some way. But I am seeing it a lot, and even this is her first album, so I'm not gonna ping her down too hard for doing this. But I would like to see in her next album to explore other thoughts, other ideas, other feelings, so it doesn't seem like she gets thematically trapped in a certain way. I think all artists, like especially with their first albums, do explorations on emotion or feeling or thought.
Right.
So I'm not like disparaging Japanese House for that. It just so happens that I'm happening to notice all these things at the same time we're on this review. So it's definitely not her fault. But going forward, I am going to look for something like that, where it seems like she is exploring new themes lyrically.
Yeah,
because the music will definitely back up whatever she's doing. Mm-hmm. I have no fault in that. I think this is one of those times where now I'm wanting to see what the artist can do.
You want more from them, which is
yeah, like Talkie Monster or even
honestly the Black Album for the 1975. The same thing when I listen to them the first time, I go, okay, what else can they do? It's that theme of the Pablo Honey of Radiohead, you know, the stuff where they. You see them for what they make, their first stuff, and you go, this is really good, what can they make? So for me, it was her making her first album scene. Can she hold a sound? Can she hold something? The entire album definitely can.
Yeah.
But now, could she expand upon that?
Yeah, like many things, your first album is a proof of concept. And like, I wanted to do something like what Bjork did, where like, she starts with, and like...
Well, Bjork is fucking crazy, but...
Well, yes, we're like...
Love her.
But like, in albums, Bjork started very much with thematically those sort of simple things. And now we're over here. We're like, Bjork is in this whole new...
That's very true.
Yeah.
Okay,
Bjork's exploring ideas
she started,
and
yeah,
concepts.
Because she started with sugar cubes and then expand on her own. Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
And then I want her to explore, like, wild concepts and fantasies and ideas. Because musically, she can hold her own, and I can tell that from the first album. So that's a really good thing. That's, like, a path I see for her so clearly that I just can't wait till she goes on it. But largely, and overall, I will say... it's a good album. I enjoy it. I will be listening to more of this since this is like her most complete work in the sense.
Yeah, listen to her EPs and shit.
I'll be picking the EPs.
I think
as
the
well,
song
sure.
Clean you will like a lot from her EP. Because that, when I first heard that track, I go, okay, this girl can make shit.
Yeah.
Anyways, I'm giving this a solid 21 plus Netanyahu screwed.
I'm giving this a 21. Netanyahu is included.
Yep. 21 Momos plus a Netanyahu screwed.
And because we always like to end audio faces on a fun note, we have a new induction into the Noted Little Bitch Awards. Travis Scott.
Yeah. Everybody's favorite overrated trappy.
So, for those of you who have been thankfully living outside of Kardashian world, and who choose to continue to...
Kardashian world, fucking...
Basically, there are rumors that the latest Kardashian dater cheated on one of the Kardashians, and so that's been swirling around.
Never mind.
That's been swirling around. Travis Scott has denied the allegations. He canceled a concert in Buffalo, I believe. Buffalo! He canceled a concert, and fans speculated that it was because he had to patch things up with Kylie. Travis Scott says he had a cold. And again, this would all be fine. I really wouldn't care. It doesn't matter. Travis Scott, I think for all the rappers, seems to be in sort of like the most decent no drama relationship, which is surprising for a rapper and a member of the Kardashian extended family.
Right.
But then he deleted his Instagram. Which sent him on a bullet train, on an unfinished, unfunded bullet train to the Noted Little Bitch Awards.
That's a one-way ticket to straight Noted Little Bitch territory.
You didn't have to do that.
Don't pass go. Do not collect $200.
Hold your ground. Say, I didn't cheat. Everything's fine. Continue doing your shows. Say, I can't do one show because I need to either fix my cough that I have so I can't perform the show, or fix my relationship so it doesn't turn anything. It doesn't matter. Do it. Whatever.
Do it. Whatever. It's pretty simple.
Just don't delete Instagram.
You're like, that delete Instagram mistake. Because if... it's... Makes me so happy. Because
the original corollary of Noted Little Bitch is you can do whatever you want, you just can't delete Twitter.
Yep. But now he... That's so great.
it's these little loopholes. They're just sitting around there and they always fall in them. It's like clockwork. Next, well, for the rest of the month on Audio Face, but definitely next week, actually. So next week, we'll have Gazafelstein, who released a new album that you can hear right now, and you can see how we like next week when we review it. Karen O and Danger Mouse, they're releasing a thing. And actually, I'll be going to an art exhibit where they're both going to be. And so that'll be an interesting thing to show live, because I think they're both established musicians, so it'll see what does the post-concert live music experience kind of look like. We talk about interesting shit on this podcast. It's amazing.
That's what we do.
And Juice WRLD. That's right. Happening. Lion Babe is also expected to come out later in March. Ooh. Norman fucking Rockwell by Lana Del Rey has apparently been pushed back a little bit, so save for that. Sean just gave me a very nice look. And we have April already kind of stacked and figured out. We know Anderson .Paak's coming. We're expecting something from Khalid, Flaming Lips, the Chemical Brothers, the OJs, and Cage the Elephant. Right. Are all things we can be expecting in April. April and May tends to be, and June tends to be some of our biggest months for Audio Face, so I'm looking forward to that. And yeah, we're ending the show now.
Yeah.
Audio Face can be found on Twitter and Instagram at Audio Face Pod, where you can recommend us things to listen to. You can also support the show. Literally, we're not asking for your money. We don't have a Patreon. We're not trying to grift and say that we're battling free speech. But you can support us.
I'm down for us making a Patreon.
And I'm not saying we won't do that. I'm saying we're not doing that right now.
No,
so,
because we don't get that young Coke money.
So the way you can support Audio Face without paying anything is by giving us a rating in iTunes, because that helps people discover the show.
That's about it.
And then those people can give us money. And you can follow Sean on Twitter, which he never uses, at SW Suarez. On Instagram, which he sometimes uses, at SW Suarez.
Yes.
You can follow me on Twitter, which I use too much, at Dan from the Web. And on Instagram, which I use even more, at Dan from the Internet. And yeah, we will see you next week. Thank you for listening, as always, and cheers.